Hello, everyone. Well, it is 5:50 a.m. and I am so excited for y'all. I cannot be too loud because it's still really early, but the reason why I'm so excited for y'all is because I used editing software yesterday and it is going to improve the audio. It is going to take out my ums, it is going to take out all the smacking I be doing. It's going to change the game for y'all. So anybody, if I have any listeners who love ASMR, because I could be noisy with the smacking and I could be heavy on the ums, you are out of luck, bitches. A bitch is upgrading slowly, and I'm feeling so incredible. So incredible. This month and the coming months, I have a whole lot going on. And I also have an appointment at 12 p.m. today, and it's an exciting appointment. Not anything related to any. It's not work related by any means. It's a different type of an appointment. And I'm so excited about it. So let's get into the valley. So I stopped doing episode recaps at episode 6. There were other things I wanted to cover, and so I covered those things. But now I basically raced through, scrolling with my mouse, seeing the scenes. I raced through episodes 7 through 12. 12 was the final episode. They're not having a reunion of the Valley, which feels tragic, but at the same time, we could just pick up where everything left off next season. But anyway, so I'm going to be talking about 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the second half of the season, the second half of the Valley. A show that Rihanna says she loves, a show that Stassi says she loves, a show that I am so impressed by, and a lot of people are too. And what's so great about The Valley is I can't recall a show on Bravo that's capturing people in mostly in their early 40s, if not late 30s, who are married, pregnant, have kids or trying to have kids, living together, possibly moving, like Kristen's boyfriend Luke. It covers, oh, also a child with special needs. It covers so many topics that so many couples are struggling with, and I enjoy seeing people that have attained things that I want to have or may want to have. And I do think Danny and Nia are just the picture perfect couple of what it means to be in love and be into each other and be having sex often and making it work. I love the spectrum of issues that are covered on this series. I really appreciate it. And before the show, I hadn't spent any time thinking about the challenges or how challenging it must be to have a child with special needs. And then I watched The Valley and I'm like, this is so heartbreaking. This is so incredibly sad. So, anyways, let's get into it, y'all. Let's do this. And I can say right now, for my notes on episode 7 and episode 8, my notes are literally one sentence. So, my notes for episodes 9 through 12, I have more than one sentence. So, I'm definitely going to be interested to see how long this episode will be. And then after this, I'm going to be watching The Ultimatum South Africa. Let me see here. That is definitely next on my list. And then I hope to cover a movie that I received a screener for, but I might be covering something else before it. But let's see what I'll get up to. these next few days. I mean, now that the Valley and Vanderpump Rules is over, like, a bitch is feeling very free. Like, I could do whatever I want. No, ain't nobody can stop me. And I could also start talking about P Valley a little bit. This podcast is called P Valley, and I want to change. I kind of want to change or explain the title of the podcast a little bit because I'm covering more than P Valley. I have been for quite some time, but I haven't gotten around to updating what I know I want P Valley to mean. I no longer want it to mean P Valley as in the show. I want it to stand for something else. But anyways, and then I could also be talking about pop culture actually, because I've taken a big pause uncovering pop culture. I think I've just been doing a lot of episode recaps. Anyways, y'all, let's talk about the Valley on Bravo, episode 7 through 12, the finale. So I mentioned how the Valley covers topics that I'm unfamiliar with them showing much content for on Bravo, but I'm not like a an obsessed Bravo fan. I'm behind on every single Real Housewives. I love the Real Housewives franchise, but I definitely have some that I watch more than others. But anyways, point being, maybe this has been somewhat of a common theme on some other shows. I wouldn't know, but I was really surprised to see Nia openly talking about her postpartum. I feel like postpartum is this mysterious condition that people judge women for because we assume that having a baby is supposed to be this euphoric experience, a love you never felt before, that you're high off of life and intoxicated by. But so many women struggle with it, and I feel like they have so much guilt because they do. And I believe that the reality of what, causes some people, or that's related to postpartum, is women are going from their full independence and their freedom and their ability to do whatever they want without having to wonder about the well-being and the safety of their offspring, of their spawn, and to all of a sudden having this 24-hour responsibility that depends upon them to live. And that's a really big leap. And people are having babies later in life. So I feel that, like, if you have a child at like 16 or 20 or 22, you don't have that much life behind you of just running around reckless in these streets. But if you have a child in your 30s or pushing 40, you're like, damn, I spent the past 15, 20 years waking up hungover, like not knowing where I am and wondering how I'm gonna get home. And so that's a lot of responsibility to just have overnight. And I feel like it could make a lot of people anxious and worried and a little maybe depressed. Maybe they're missing their old lives. I don't know. I'm not a physician. These are just my random guesses about postpartum. And I'm sure there's a lot of chemical changes. There's probably a lot of biology behind it. But then when you look at Nia, it's like she has three kids and two twins. Like a lot of people who have twins, those are their only children. Those are the only kids that they are going to have, the only kids that they do have. But they have three kids younger than the age of three, something that Danny won't stop mentioning ever. It's like, did this man get a vasectomy already? Because the way how he always be talking about how he has three kids, I think he needs to stop at three, because I just feel like if he had four kids, he would tattoo that across his forehead, the way how he always has to be letting us know that he has three kids. Like, we got it. There's people who have more kids than you, Danny. Shut up. Anyways, so to see Nia talking about her postpartum, I think it's really courageous, and I wouldn't be shocked by any means if some people were nasty to her in the comments because she has or had postpartum. I'm saying this because I have read comments for a very, very long time, and I put nothing past anyone when it comes to saying something nasty and completely ridiculous in the comment section. And it's a lot of jealous, bitter, angry, sad, depressed, broke, lonely people who feel special when they're able to try to say something nasty to someone who's doing better than them. And then Nia's also gorgeous. Her husband worships her. So I don't even know if she's faced any backlash for speaking about her postpartum, but I just want to say I commend her for it because I feel like we have not, as a society, we haven't talked about postpartum enough. And I would like to hear about it more so I could understand it more. Because everything I said about it might be baseless. Those are just my guesses because I just feel like the public, the mass majority of people are really uneducated on it. And I would love to find out more information on postpartum. So my other note that I have for episode 7 is we see a pretty epic battle at the end of the episode because Brittany wants to have another baby, and Jax is saying that he's not ready and that a lot of men, struggle with feeling ready for that second child. And Jax loves to say that he's a father. He loves to say that he's a dad. He's wanted to be a dad for so long. I'm alarmed to see him, want to take pause when it comes to having a second child. It's sad. It feels like such a bait and switch for Brittany. Like, Brittany doesn't want her kids to have a huge age gap, which makes sense. I think it sucks to have a huge age gap when you have a sibling. And I remember listening to Brittany on Shenanigans, Sheena's podcast, saying how her and Jax are going to be trying for a baby in the summer. And then here comes Avallie, and Jax is like, not really. When you think about it, it's like, how respectful is it? Like, let's be for real, for real. When two people are married, it is very respectful to, as a woman, to respect your partner's decision when it comes to having kids. Because all you have to do, well, it's kind of complicated in Brittany and Jax's case because they aren't having sex. But generally speaking, all a woman has to do when she wants to get pregnant is have sex. She doesn't have to, like, hold her partner's hand and walk him along with the process. She doesn't have to be like, oh yeah, I'm ovulating, let's fuck right now. She just has to say, let's fuck. Meanwhile, she's trying to get pregnant and he has no idea. And whether a woman is married or not, like, it's really a woman who knows when she's ovulating and knows when she's most likely to get pregnant. And Brittany is being respectful of her husband and trying to do this as a team. And he's sitting there and he doesn't really want to right now. And, I have so many mixed feelings about Brittany and Jax because I don't blame her for being optimistic. That's what you do when you're in love. You're supposed to be, you're naturally optimistic, and you're supposed to be. You're supposed to support your partner and believe in your partner. And but I f and that's why I feel bad for Brittany because she didn't know she was going to get a man who is sitting there and having reservations about having a second baby when he's old. Jax is like 45, 46 years, 40, like 46 or some shit. Like, F you, Jax. Have your second baby. I don't know. Brittany, ideally, I would like for Jax to be a different person, but that is like not, that's unrealistic. But I would love for Brittany, for Jax to be a different person and for them to stay together. But if they don't stay together, I wish her a lot of health, wealth, and happiness. Because we could all sit here and be keyboard warriors, and we could all sit here and be voyeurs and fans of a show or different shows because we saw Brittany and Jax on Vanderpump Rules. But we also need to remember finding a good man is not easy. It is for Kristen because she leads with her sexuality and she just like goes to a wedding and F someone behind or in a bathroom or wherever she F'd Luke. And then she finds a man who wants to wife her. But for the rest of us who don't go the Kristen route, or for those of us who do, it's still difficult. It's still challenging. And so I just feel bad for Brittany because I don't feel like she's gotten anything out of her relationship that she's put in. And I remember on earlier episodes of The Valley, she said that Jax has nothing to do with romance. And I'm very similar to Brittany. Like, I want romance. And I just think it's a really sad compromise that I've seen so many people I know make to just forfeit romance for partnership. And I don't know. I really, really, really do not enjoy watching couples split, particularly Jesse and Michelle. So I don't know. I just feel really sad for Brittany. I do. All right, that's what I have to say about episode 7. Now it is time for us to talk about episode 8. And episode 8 was really fun because Janet and Jason, they had, people cook Benihana style, I guess, whatever you call that, at their house, and they played a game, and we found out that the male cast members are pretty terrible in bed, particularly Jesse. And you know what? You know how like Jesse like apparently has sex for like 2 minutes? Can you blame him? Let's be honest, can you blame Jesse? I mean, Michelle looks like she'd rather shave her eyelashes than have sex with her husband. So he has to be in and out. He has to be quick with it. Okay. Next we have episode 9. We see that Zach is crying because he cannot or he has not been invited to Janet's baby moon. Okay, so this is where I kind of feel like reality TV, or sorry, this show, let me be more specific, is fake. How many bitches do you know who go on a baby moon with a group of men and women? How many? Raise your hand, y'all. Let's pretend I could see you. I thought baby moons were for couples. I didn't know they were for groups of friends of people who are not pregnant. Like, what are we doing? What are we talking about here? Zach also, like, I don't know why he feels entitled to go to a baby moon. I don't want to go to some what's equivalent of a baby moon? I'm being really silly right now. Is the equivalent of a baby moon, like, I don't want to go to a testicle shaving trip, because I ain't got no testicles. So like, Zach, why are you crying? This, like, since when? Since when have men gone to baby moons? This was news to me and a lot of other viewers. So Janet's gay friend, I cannot remember what his name is. He is wearing boots, and it really unnerves Zach. But anyways, Janet's friend is reporting back to Janet via text what is happening at Kristen's James May t-shirt launch. And it's funny because he's a messy gay and he's a very obvious gay, and I want to see more of him on future seasons, because he really, really made me smile and laugh. And so Jesse is back from his ayahuasca trip that he took to save his marriage, a marriage that Michelle has decided is over, but she just hasn't notified him is over. So Jesse comes back and he seems so at peace and zen-like and enlightened and happy. And he needs to wear a beanie more often. When I like did my little fast forward rewatch, Jesse looked pretty damn good in a beanie. And Jesse, like, I think he's a handsome man. Personality-wise, I can't. Like, personality-wise, he drives me out, but he looked good in a beanie. Anyways, he's back. He's feeling himself. He's like, damn. In his mind, he's like, wow, my marriage is gonna work now. I took these drugs. And Michelle could not care less. Michelle does not want to be affectionate with him. The way how I have cringed and been embarrassed for Jesse the entire season is almost unforgivable of the producers, because I'm like, this is way too much. Like, we like to throw around the term secondhand embarrassment and we like to say cringe all the time. No, I literally cringe and coil up when I see Jesse and Michelle scenes. Oh God, it's so sad. Like, I don't like watching people getting embarrassed this way. And so then we see that Kristen and Luke, they have couples counseling. And I put the counselor is sexy to me. That's what I typed out. I didn't rewatch the scene, but I don't know. These therapists, okay? Michelle and Jesse's therapist, Scott, Kristen and Luke's therapist, why they got these sexy men to me? Why are they like, oh my God. I think because they're so, have such a high emotional intelligence and they seem patient and smart. I'm like, wow. I want more of these men on my TV. I want to get to Googling. Can I pretend that I'm in a marriage and I'm struggling so I can have a session? I don't know. And I don't even know if he's single, y'all. Because, like I said, I fast forwarded past this. I don't know if either one of them are single. Don't come for me if they were wearing rings. I don't think the first one was, but these guys turned me on. So, shout out to Jesse and Michelle and Kristen and Luke for finding counselors that I am attracted to and want to be in bed with. So next we see that they are at Big Bear Lake and Jesse's drunk and Jesse is harassing Danny. So now I almost gotta take back the fact that I said Jesse looks good in a beanie. I do not respect that Jesse throughout this show. He targets Danny. And let's be real, he targets Danny because Danny is short. It's really, really disturbing to see. It's uncalled for. Danny doesn't provoke him in any way. Danny does nothing. The only way that I think that Jesse is provoked by Danny is that Danny is in a marriage with a beautiful wife who loves him and vice versa. And he is sitting there asking for kisses after an ayahuasca trip. So it's really unfair to see how Jesse is so mean to Danny, and poor Danny can't, he just doesn't deal with it well. Like, he needs to just like punch Jesse in his balls. And he doesn't even have to squat to punch him in his balls, just be like eye level to ball level and punch him. I know that was a really bad joke, but I'm not editing it because, you know, I don't really edit this podcast. But anyways, Jesse's such a piece of shit for going for Danny. Like, F you, and I hope that Jesse has apologized to Danny since the show aired. So, episode 10, you know, Jax tells Michelle that, or it might have been episode 9, Jax tells Michelle that Kristen says that she texts men sexy photos for work. And then when Michelle tells Jesse he wants to ask Jax, and then Jesse says that he knows Michelle texts men for work. Like, how pathetic is Jesse? Like, for real. How pathetic is he? It's sad. It's again, I am so embarrassed for this man on this series. Like, forever embarrassed. He really went through it. So when someone tells you this about your partner, you should believe them. Like, don't be defending their ass. Believe them. All Jesse had to do was say, Michelle, show me your phone. He didn't want to do that though. He just backed his wife because it's sad. He didn't want to think otherwise. So Danny cries about working hard to raise his infant kids and, you know, his son. His son has two twin daughters. And, you know, people online, or sorry, people on podcasts were like, these men want praise for raising, helping their kids, and people online were saying that this, like, yeah, people should be praised, men and women, for raising their kids, especially if they're doing it well, especially if they're taking the time and being attentive. Danny didn't say he wants a trophy. He was just saying that he has a lot of work to do and it's hard. And it is. So it's really insensitive for us to act as though men want a prize for co-parenting. They don't. It's just that I understand why he wouldn't feel appreciated because I wouldn't feel appreciated in his position. It's something that comes with parenting, is you have to be selfless and give all your time up and energy up, and you have every right to cry about it. It's hard. So F you to the people who think he's wrong for doing so. What Danny did on TV, I'm sure countless men in his position have done behind closed doors. They have sobbed. So let's be a little gentler and kinder when men express themselves and are vulnerable in ways that they should be allowed to be in the same way that us as women are allowed to be, or us women are. I have some male listeners. Anyway, so Brittany unleashes on Jax for claiming that she was drunk when she is actually sick. Jax bitching to their mutual friends about Brittany being sick in bed is unforgivable. That is extremely embarrassing. But this is the type of partner Jax is. He has no emotional intelligence, he has no patience. Jax is true to himself. From day one of Vanderpump Rules, he's been a piece of shit. He hasn't changed. It's just that I think Brittany thought, as husband and father, he would defend her more, but she was in for a surprise. But I'm on Jax's side when it comes to Brittany's drinking because it doesn't work out for Brittany when she consumes alcohol. And it's like, I don't know, watching Brittany almost makes it could make somebody want a sober partner because what Jax has to deal with is not cute. It is not fun from what we've seen. I don't know what they actually deal with when cameras are off, but from what I've seen on the show, all I know is if somebody is drinking and vomiting and feeling sick, absolutely not. That's a lot to put on your partner to always have to check out of an event or a gathering because you don't, alcohol doesn't work well with you and you still consume it regularly and excessively, allegedly, supposedly. Like, who wouldn't be frustrated by that? I don't know what's going on with Brittany and the drinking, but it just doesn't seem like a good move for her. Like, she's someone who should go the sober route if she's so affected by it physically. So anyway, Zach pretends to be in Big Bear on his Instagram story. And again, Zach should not be hurt or upset that he's not at the baby moon. Like, he's not entitled to go to a damn baby moon. I don't, as far as Jack tacking that he's in Big Bear, I think it is funny. It's immature, but I love immaturity, like immature humor. I think that the root of most humor is based in immaturity. So I love that he did that. I feel bad for Janet. I have more context into why she was so upset about it. It has been said on Shenanigans. Basically, Zach said some pretty shitty things to her about her baby and her pregnancy, and she just kind of felt like, it wasn't, things could possibly go south with her pregnancy if Zach was in the area. But it was funny for me to watch. It was funny for me to watch Zach do that. And it was funny for me to watch Janet like lose it over that, even though it is sad and unfortunate. And I understand, like, Janet is, I don't know, she's in her 30s. So, I assume that she just feels like she should be extra cautious. Trying to have a baby, trying to actually get the baby out. A lot of people don't make it that far. So, I don't know. Zach is an asshole. I don't care for him, but I don't mind him on my TV. I just hate that he seems really uncomfortable in front of the cameras. He's always making faces and flailing his arms or his hands, and I want him to get more comfortable in front of the camera 'cause he's good for the show. They're all just like straight, with the exception of Jasmine. They're just straight and not as flamboyant as him, and we need him. But I want him to chill, stop trying to turn it up so much. So Danny does not know that the guys are on a boat, and we discover that Danny does not know what a Napoleon complex is. All right, this was a turning point for me. I do not think Danny is so great after I saw this scene. How is it that you are a short man who does not know what Napoleon complex means? I cannot give an excuse for that. You need to know. You need to know what people are assigning to you and calling you and labeling you because of your height. People are gonna say that you have a Napoleon complex, whether you do or not. You should know what the fuck that means. I don't know. At that point, I was like, Danny, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on upstairs, but you need, I'm sorry. No words, bitch.
I'm gonna leave it at that. You already know how I feel about it. I'm gonna leave it at that because I don't wanna deep dive into being an a-hole about my feelings on Danny not knowing what a Napoleon complex is. So shout out to Jason for knowing what it actually means. Next, we got episode 11. So shout out to Jason for knowing what it actually means. So, episode 11, we see that Danny, the man who doesn't know what a Napoleon complex is, a drunken idiot. I loved seeing everybody dress up as each other's fantasy. It was a great idea. Really, really, really great idea. More people should do that. And we see that Nia is always saying that they have to go whenever Danny gets a little unruly. What a great marriage, honestly, to have a partner who's trying to protect you, who's trying to shield you from the public and your friends when you're acting like an absolute idiot. We all need a Nia in our lives. So Jason says that he likes standard sex. I think that's what the words he used. But anyways, Jason said he has three positions and he said, quote, "Any more than that, it's like, who are you showing off for here?" End quote. I love this. We don't see this ever on TV. Ever. We don't see anybody saying, look, there are three positions in my bag. Anything more? Like, what are you trying to do? You trying to shoot a porn? Like, my thoughts on what Jason said, I'm not into it. Like, I'm not into capping shit at three positions. I just think it's pretty sexy that he said that on TV with a straight face and with a smile. Like, this is who he is. Take it or leave it, bitches. You get in three positions, and that's it. And he's out. He's done. The problem with this whole three positions thing is, let's be for serious. You know, one of them three is a missionary. I think one of them three is missionary. I think the other of them three is doggy. And then maybe the third is Janet on top. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Anyways, whatever they do, they seem really happy. So, and let me put it this way, if a man can master three positions, that's better than a man that can master none. So, you know, do whatever works for y'all, kids. Now it is the finale episode, episode 12. Michelle tells Jesse that she doesn't know if she could be in love with Jesse again. And this is my problem with Michelle, and this is my problem with the Valley. Michelle has been checked out of her relationship with Jesse for how long? And I feel that she is giving him false hope throughout the entire season. She is hesitating to tell him that she's done. When, and we learn that 3 days after filming was done, she was like, deuces, bitch. See you later. So, do you really have to put your husband through this on television? Do you really got to do all that? I don't know. So, Jax's bar is officially now open in Studio City. It is called Jax's Studio City. Jax's looks ghetto as hell to me. Jax's looks like the backyard of some people's houses that I've been to. It looks like the backyard of a house that I stayed at before in the past. Like, I don't want to spend money getting drinks to be in a place that looks as low grade, ghetto, and borderline rundown to me as Jax's does. I want to be in a place that looks more like Tom Tom, Pump, Sir. Well, as far as the vibe, I would say Tom Tom. Tom Tom or Pump. That's more of an establishment that I would want to be in than Jax's. It's not for me. I'm not saying it looks horrible. I just feel that it looks cheap. Just my opinion. I don't know. Maybe I've been to too many nicer places. And like, even compare the aesthetic of Jax's to the aesthetic of Schwartz and Sandy's. Like, Jax's looks like it's the bottom of the barrel in comparison to the other bars on Vanderpump Rules. the show that he's from. So, I don't know. And now all of a sudden, everybody's writing really bad reviews about Jax's, apparently because he's an asshole, which is what happened with Schwartz and Sandy's. And I don't even think people were coming for Tom Tom. They only had 5% stake, the Tom and Sandoval and Schwartz, but in Tom Tom, but everybody apparently is coming for Jax's in the comments. And as I said, it don't look good to me. Jax's doesn't look good to me, so I'm not like in a hurry to go see it in person. What I'm in a hurry for is something about her. And I'm glad I've been taking my time to go there. And I want to go there next week, but it might be the week after. I just want to see what the sandwiches are about. I want to see what the hype is about. I like a sandwich. I totally do. Does anybody pronounce it like me? I put a G in there. I say sandwich. So it's sandwich, but I like to put a G in there. I like to say sandwich. It was just, I don't know, it's very funny. Like I think it's one of the few words that I add a letter in for no goddamn reason. Anyways, so Zach, he starts yelling at Janet while they're at Jax's, and Jason tells him don't ever talk to him like that, and he will blah blah blah. And Jason is like really awkward when he says this, and Jason needs to remember how tall he is. Like, how dare you, Jason, waste that height? You need to use that height to intimidate people. You shouldn't be like wavering when you're telling somebody to stop. He's like 6'5". How dare you be so tall and also be timid? Hell no. So Zach is an idiot. You can't be talking to a pregnant woman in front of her man like this, or a woman in front of her man like this, and not think that you're gonna get called out for it. Like, it's so childish of him. So delusional of him. So it looks like the valley was supposed to end with Jax opening up his bar. And as a reminder, the only reason why Jax opened a bar is because he says he's jealous of Schwartz and Sandy's. Like, loser. So cameras pick back up March 2nd because these couples are done now. So it looks like it was supposed to end in October. October is when this series was done filming, but they cameras picked back up March 2nd, like on some Scandoval shit. So Michelle stops by Jesse's house with Isabella, and she's there to pick some things up, and she is ice cold towards him, and she reminds him that she wants a divorce. And again, I'm very humiliated for Jesse. Michelle, like, yikes on yikes. This woman refuses to act. She could have been a little bit nicer, knowing she was going to be on camera, but nope, she still was very, very bitchy. And Michelle said, quote, "I don't care. I just want to get divorced," end quote. Ouch. Michelle really treats Jesse like he slept with her friend. Michelle treats Jesse like he slept with Rachel, from Vanderpump Rules. I'm so glad that they're like, I'm hoping that Michelle does not treat Jesse like shit on season two. I don't want to watch it. So I hope that Michelle takes a good hard look at how she has come across, and she just pretends for the cameras, because I don't enjoy watching how shitty she is to Jesse. So Brittany explains to the other women that she's done with Jax and how she's defended him to her family, and now she has to basically tell her family that they're right about him, and it's really sad. We don't, and Brittany is all up into the toxic positivity, and I really do enjoy Brittany when she's more of, when she's not being really positive, and when she's just being honest. That's the Brittany I love, and I'm sorry, Brittany was looking hot. Brittany did not look good this entire season, but Brittany was looking hot, and when they pick the cameras up in March, I thought she looked really, really pretty. Especially in the end when she was talking to Jax, like, she is looking really, really good. I think this is your time for your glow up. You always gotta have a glow up after a breakup. So Zach has a boyfriend that he's been with for 6 months. I hope we get to see him on the show. I'm happy for Zach. I think Zach is, he's sensitive. He's probably has a really sweet side. Obviously, he has a temper. I can identify with that. And I hope we get to see him and his boyfriend. How fun. So Kristen had some fat taken out of her stomach, and she did have a bit of a pooch. Or what do they call that pooch? Not a, what do they call it? Fupa. A pooch. A fupa. And she put it on her Instagram if you want to see the before and afters. And that's one of the perks of being a reality star is people will give you work for free if you just shout them out on your Instagram, or they'll give you a discount. And I assume it was one of those. So Brittany visits Jax at their house, and Jax tells her that them living apart has been nice. Ouch, ouch, and ouch. Jack says he signed up for therapy the day before, and Brittany said that Jack signed up because he knew that he would be filmed the next day. She's correct, because we find out in Jack's confessional that Jax did not go to his therapy appointment. That is how serious he is taking it. So Brittany says that Jax will rage text her once the cameras are off, and he has told her that she's fat, lazy, and that nobody likes her in Los Angeles, and that she has no friends in Los Angeles. Brittany has lived in Los Angeles for like a decade, or like 9 years. How dare you? Brittany has friends. Yeah, she met people through Jax. Why wouldn't she? He's the reason why she moved. But she has her own friends and her own circle. And even if she didn't, why would you say that to your wife? Why? Like, I don't know. The way how Jax chooses to make his wife a punching bag. Note to everyone out there, male or female, you might lose your partner, just like Jax is losing his. And you're gonna deserve it if you treat someone this way. So Jax could F off. So Brittany leaves Jax's to return to her Airbnb. And when she's talking to Jax, you could just tell that she seems fed up and checked out of her marriage, just like Michelle was. And you see that in her confessional. She's like, why did I put up with this for so long? It's like, Brittany, don't blame yourself. Don't do it. It's not like your relationship was always shitty. It just became really shitty. So they show a montage of pictures of Jax and Brittany together, and they show video footage of their wedding. And I don't, like I said, I stand by it. I don't enjoy watching couples break up, especially couples that were once so happy together. This is not the show that I want it to be. Like, honestly, I'm getting nervous. It makes me nervous for Danny and Nia. It makes me nervous for Kristen and Luke. Fuck. Anyways, so should Brittany leave Jax? I think I addressed that in the very first few minutes of this episode, but I want Brittany to be happy, and I think Jax is broken, so I don't really believe that she could be happy with Jax. And she's certainly young enough. She's, I think, 34 years old now. She's certainly young enough to move on and be happy with someone else. And according to Jax, she's been sleeping with somebody else, or sorry, sleeping with somebody for the past 4 months. And he tweeted that and deleted it. And I'm excited for Brittany if that's the truth, because I don't think Brittany is going to repeat this mistake. I do believe Brittany will be with somebody better than Jax after Jax. So shout out to her if that's happening. And I hope we get to see that man all up on the show next season. If he's a good guy, I want him to be a good guy. I want him to have money. I don't want him to be clout chasing. But I don't know. I think season two really might outdo season one when you think about everything that's transpired since the series has filmed or wrapped filming in October. So, all right, you guys, thank you so much for your patience on this. I'm officially technically 5 to 6 weeks late to the party. But love y'all. I'm gonna go ahead and edit this episode with the software that I mentioned. Bye.